As Todd was beginning this morning, he took time just to say thank you all for letting us be here, and I want to do that same thing. It really is a great week. Todd and Brad and I are having our own fun little Truett reunion and having a great time getting to spend time with you. This is a remarkably special place, and thank you for letting us come. My father-in-law was a pastor in Miami, Florida for 20 years. He tells the story that they were working on a significant capital campaign to renovate their sanctuary, and they had the campaign chairman get up to give his testimony. He said he looked like Daddy Warbucks. He had a $5,000 suit and a $20,000 Rolex watch. And he got up, and his testimony was just stirring. He said, "Everything that I have today, I have because on one day, I gave everything that I had to God." He began to tell the story. It was during the Depression, and he just graduated from law school, and he really couldn't get a job anywhere, but somebody took a chance on him. And he'd worked for 3 weeks at this place, and they paid him in cash a $20 bill. He said, "I was able to hold on to it, and there was a girl that I really wanted to impress, and so I asked her, 'Would you go out with me?' And she said, 'I'd be glad to go to church with you.'" So he realized there's a preliminary step he hadn't counted on, and they went to worship together. He said, I really wasn't a church-going person, but I went with her, and I wanted to impress her, and I had plans to take her out for a great lunch and to ask her out to a supper, and as the pastor was speaking, I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I knew that this was a moment that was going to be decisive for my life. And when he was finished, they began to pass an offering plate, and he said that's when the dilemma came, because everything that I had was a $20 bill. And I hadn't broken it because I wanted to impress the girl that I had a $20 bill. And the plate was coming along, and I realized you couldn't make change from the offering plate. And I had to put something in, and on that day, I gave everything that I had to God, and everything that I have today grew out of that moment. Dan said, it was stirring. He got down off the platform and he went and sat on the front row, and he was wearing one of these kind of microphones, and the sound people hadn't turned it off, and there was a woman on the second row. I don't know who she was, but I think it was Phyllis Collins. And she leaned up and everyone in the room heard her say, "I dare you to do it again." It's a risk, isn't it? But we're supposed to take risks. You know, when you have babies, they stay where you put them until they don't. And at first we celebrate that. They start to crawl, and then they begin to sort of toddle and lumber, and we tell them, "You can do it, you can do it." And if you have your first child right now, let me warn you against a rookie mistake. When your children fall down, if you go, they will go, "Wah!" But if you go, "Good job, that's the way," they will think they did something great and get right back up and go again. As your children grow up and you learn, if you're working on a project and they ask to help, it will take longer if you let them help. My children have gone to bed with homework half finished and awakened to projects all the way done. Maybe you were more honest about that than we were. Do you ever watch This Old House? Norm the contractor said that when someone asks him to come work on the house, he gives them three bids. It costs this much if you want him to do it, and this much if you want to watch him do it, and this much if you want to help him do it. When you invite somebody else in, it takes more time, but with our children, we want to help them grow and tell them, you can do this. The biggest decision you ever make is to follow Christ. And you walk down an aisle in a church and discover that a whole bunch of people who previously have been strangers become to you brothers and sisters, and they cheer for you. And in that place, you discover that you have a particular set of gifts, and they're hard for you to see because they're your gifts. You just think everybody does this thing well, but they don't. And you make the decision to risk living into your gifting. You know, when we look back over our lives, what we see is that it's the risks we took that made us who we are. And don't you wish you could just live backwards? So you could tell yourself, I wish I had taken a risk here. I wish I had really gone for it there. I could have really lived and extended myself if I'd only done something in this place, and that is a kingdom of God instinct. Jesus tells us that in a parable that we're going to hear today. It's in the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel, and we're going to start in the 14th verse. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it there? The gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. And there the scripture says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 talents of gold, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. And the man who had received 5 talents went out at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more, but the one who'd received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received the 5 talents brought the other 5. He said, 'Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. I will put you in charge of a lot. Come and share your master's joy.' And the one who had the 2 talents came also and said, 'Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents, and see, I've gained 2 more. And the master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'll put you in charge of a lot. Come and share your master's joy." Then the one who received the 1 talent came, and he said, 'Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you.' And his master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I reaped where I've not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seed. Well, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least gotten it back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For whoever has been given much, whoever has will be given more. And they'll have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even the little they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This too is the word of the Lord. It's just quite a story, isn't it? What if I just retold it for us? Once upon a time, there was a wealthy businessman who was about to leave the country on an extended trip, and he called into his spacious corner office 3 of his employees, grin on his face. And he handed to each of them an envelope. And the first one opened the envelope, and inside there was a cashier's check for $100 million. And he said, "Holy cow!" That's from the original Greek. And the second one opened his, and there was a cashier's check inside for $40 million. And he said, "Wow!" And the third one opened his envelope, and there was a cashier's check for $20 million, and slack jawed. He didn't say a word. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? By the lavish grace of God, every one of us is rich in grace and rich in giftedness and rich in life. We did not earn it. We do not own it. We are stewards of it. And we have choices to make with it. Well, the boss left on his trip. And the first servant, looking at a check for a cool $100 million of somebody else's money, said, "I've got venture capital, and I'm going to go start a business." And the third servant said, "Are you crazy? You can't do that. Did you get permission for that?" The first servant said, no, but you know how the boss is. He's never big on details anyway. And he skipped out, money in his hand. The second servant said, I've got $40 million here, and I'm going to go play the stock market. And he took off with a spring in his step. And the third servant, looking to check for $20 million, palms, sweating, heart racing, sped home. And he said to himself, I've got to be careful. And in the dark of night, he took that envelope and he put it in a cigar box and he buried it in the backyard. The first two were not careful. They went about growing their gifts and they worked hard and they doubled those gifts. Now the first one has $200 million, the second one has $80 million, the third servant has still not cashed his check. And suddenly, without warning, after a long time, the master came back. And the first two servants gave their report, and the master beams, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'll put you in charge of a lot. Come and share my joy. Your translation may say happiness. I don't like that translation. Happiness depends on our circumstance. This master seems to be joyful all the time. You've been faithful with a little. A little. There's $250 million on the table. And he calls it a little. Holy cow. And now it's time for the third servant to give his report. Did you ever have that experience in school? You get out your homework and then everybody else gets out their homework. And your homework doesn't look anything like their homework. And you just know, this is not going to go well for me. That sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach, you can call that third servant syndrome. Let's talk about what this parable is not about. It's not about the money. No matter what the third servant thinks, the third servant says, here, take your money, but the master never touched the money. He gave it away. He gives it to the one who will use it, not the one who's going to sit on it. It's not about the money. All the master does in this story is give and give and give. And we know that. He will spare no expense. This is the master who spared not his own son for us. He will bear any burden, pay any cost, endure any hardship, suffer any ill in order to bring his children home. And the first two servants seem to know that, and that knowledge makes all the difference in how they live. They seem to know that somehow, if they lost what he had given them, he would give them more. The third servant is wrong about the gift because he is wrong about the giver. He didn't understand the parable because he didn't know the parabler, as Todd Still would say. He has no love for the master. He has a wrong relationship with the master, and so he comes to the wrong conclusion about his life. He was afraid of wrath, so he avoided the work, and he missed the blessing. The only wrath in this story comes on the one who won't play God's gracious game. And why won't he play? Because he projects his own fears onto God. See, judgment comes when we refuse to use our gifts for God's good purpose. You can remember that this way. Buried blessings backfire. Judgment comes when we think ourselves as zero talent servants. There is no such character in this story. Newsflash. All of these servants were given wildly generous gifts, and you and I have been too. Judgment comes when we try to bury our lives underground. And the truth is, and you know this, you can go to church and follow the rules and still bury your gift. So how do you see your life? As burden, grief, chore, obligation. Life has burdens and griefs and chores and obligations, but life is not these things. Underneath, life is miracle and grace and windfall. Think about the blessings that you have in your life at this moment right now. And then go back to 6 months before you were born. and tell me what you did to earn being born. Life is a gift. Birth is grace. All of this is windfall. And the purpose of our lives really is to learn how to love the giver and to grow our gifts to please the master. The question is, have you buried your life to keep it safe? Were you scared along the way? By some bad teaching, somebody said, be careful, you'll get hurt. And so you didn't. Or by some painful experience, you got hurt, trying to live and to love and to trust, and you said, I'll never do that again. And for whatever reason, for so many, life looms large and foreboding before us, while God is waiting and loving and risking and reaching out and wanting for us to do something marvelous and new, waiting for us to trust Him as He has trusted us. Have you buried your heart somewhere because you think it's just too scary to let it out? If you take what you've been given and you guard it, you make a grave for the gift of God. And so have we guarded our hearts against love for the risk of pain, and guarded our wallets against giving for the fear of price, and guarded our lives against our own calling for the fear of what? What a loving God will do and where He will take us? Why don't you just go back to where you buried it and dig it up? And bring it into the light and do something with it. And offer it back to the God who gave it to you in the first place. But do it while there's still time to grow it. Do it while there's still time to do something with it. Could I propose an alternate ending to this parable for you? Imagine it ended this way. The third servant cashed the check, and he spent the money ministering to those in need around him and telling them about God's love. And let's say most of the people to whom he went don't get it, and some of them steal from him, and he spends all the money so that there's no money left. And then the master suddenly returns, and the first two servants give their report. Master, you've trusted me with this. I made it into that. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'll put you in charge of a lot. Come into my joy. And then the third servant comes forward, and he says, Master, I have nothing to show for your gift. I spent it in your name, and it's all gone. I failed. What do you think this master would say to that servant? I'll tell you what I think he'd say. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little, and I'll put you in charge of a lot. Come into my joy. It's not about the money. It's not about success. God doesn't need the money. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And did I mention He has the hills too? It's about our faithfulness to God's purpose. Now, of course, in Jesus' story, those who used God's gifts did not lose. Did you notice that? That's the real miracle, that those who risk for Christ always get back more than they give. Have you ever in your whole life ever met anyone who passionately gave themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and regretted it? Who thought it was a waste? See, there's nothing more important than this. That when you get to the last day of your life on this earth, to look back from the grave and be able to say, I'm glad I did that. And to hear the only voice that matters say, I'm glad too. That's my joy. Come in and I'll give you more. Come to the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the earth. Jesus says there's a name for that. It's called the kingdom of heaven. and you can live it here on earth. Well, would you pray with me? Gracious God, you have trusted us with what you seem to think is a little, and to us it looks like a whole lot. Help us to be faithful. Call us to risk it all for you and for your kingdom, because we love you and trust you. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.